The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew. Glory to you, Lord Christ. Then Jesus called the crowd to him and said to them, "Listen and understand. It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but it is what comes out of the mouth that defiles." Then the disciples approached and said to him, "Do you know that the Pharisees took offense when they heard what you said?" He answered, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind guides of the blind. And if one blind person guides another, both will fall into a pit." But Peter said to him, "Explain this parable to us." Then he said, "Are you also still without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth enters the stomach and goes out into the sewer? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this is what defiles. For out of the heart come evil intentions, murder, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile." Jesus left that place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Just then a Canaanite woman from that region came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But he did not answer her at all. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." He answered, "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed instantly. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you, Mike, for the commentary. As unusual as it is, yes, I think it was necessary. I was sorely tempted this week to preach on Joseph and to tell the story, because it is a marvelous story, but I could not escape the allure, as it were, of the Canaanite woman. If you are not familiar with the story of Joseph, or if you have and haven't read it in a while, it's a great story. It's the longest single story in Scripture. It's 14 chapters long at the end of Genesis. And it's a great story of a fall and a rise to power and redemption, and it's got all that stuff in it. And actually, if you don't want to read it, Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat is a reasonably accurate retelling of the story. So, however, as I said, I was drawn to this Canaanite woman and her interaction with Jesus. There is great significance in this passage. By the end of this passage, there's an understanding that the gospel is expanded beyond the people of Israel and to the world, the Gentiles, including us. This is the only occasion in the gospel witness where Jesus actually makes his way out of Jewish territory. He ministered to Gentiles, as this woman is, only two other times in the gospel witness. Once was to the centurion's son in Capernaum, and the other is a demoniac in the country of the Gerasenes. So he is focused, as the gospel portrays him, on the children of Israel. We find him this morning after this talk of defilement by what comes out of your mouth. He goes, he annoys the Pharisees, explains this to his disciples, and then he goes off alone. I believe that he is really off preparing for the cross, for the battle that is to come, which is not far away. But even here, Jesus is not free from the demands of human need. This woman who had a daughter, the daughter is greatly afflicted. We're not sure exactly what the daughter was suffering from, but she was suffering sufficiently that this woman actually came to Jesus. She must have heard of the wonderful things that Jesus did. He had not been to this area, but his reputation must have preceded him. And she came crying for help. But Jesus ignored her at first. Matthew says he did not answer her at all. Somebody in great need came to Jesus and said, "Please help me." And the gospel witness seems to tell us that he turned his back. This is not the Jesus we would expect. And for a moment, anyway, it went down from there. The disciples said, "Send her away." This harkens back to the feeding of the 5,000, doesn't it? Send them away. We can't feed them. Well, send her away. She is annoying us. Send her away. It's a common enough reaction, I think, but it's not one we would expect out of this crew. It's very different from a response of Christian love and pity and compassion. But to Jesus, there was a problem here. As he was confronted with this woman, surely he was moved by compassion. But she was a Gentile, not a child of Israel. And Jesus says to her, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." So he's saying, "You're not part of this. I'm not going to help." Now, this is an awfully harsh saying of Jesus, but again, it seems to get worse. She knelt before him. She knelt before him now. She'd been shouting at him. Now she is kneeling before him. And she says, "Lord, help me." And then Jesus really sinks, I think. He says, "It's not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." That's a confusing statement at first, but the children's food is the grace of God. And we don't want to give it to just anybody, especially not dogs like Canaanites. Now, it's worth noting that the word translated here as dog is diminutive. It really could mean household pet, puppy. But I don't think that implies that somehow Jesus is just engaging in a witty repartee with this woman. He called her and her people dogs. But she comes back, persistent. "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." There is grace. And so he replies, "Woman, great is your faith." After all of this, he comes back to faith. Now, it's hard to say exactly what's going on here with Jesus. This is not the only time that we hear him say harsh things. Statements like, "Follow me, let the dead bury their own dead," come to mind. He was not quite the warm, fuzzy person we like to make him out to be. But what's going on? Is he changing his mind? Is he understanding his ministry and his role to be different? Where he shows up in this Gentile territory thinking, "I'm not for them. I'm just doing a little getting away from the pressure of Israel. I'm going to prepare myself in prayer and meditation for what is to come." Or is he just testing her? Does he know ahead of time? Does he know ahead of time that he is going to do this healing? And it's just testing her faith. Did he change his mind after this debate with this woman? Did she help him see something new? Well, Matthew's not clear on that. You can find many scholars who would argue either way. So let's take a look at what we do know then. What can we learn from this story? Perhaps we can't learn exactly how Jesus saw his ministry from this one story, but we can look and what we know of this woman and what her interaction with Jesus was. First of all, I'd say she came to Jesus out of love. Love for Jesus, we can't say. Probably not. She comes shouting at him. But love for her daughter. She doesn't come for selfish reasons. She doesn't come so that she can gain something. She comes for someone she loves. It's a good start. Love made her approach this stranger. Love made her accept his silence and yet continue to appeal. Love made her suffer the apparent rebuffs. Love made her able to see the compassion beyond the words and actions of Jesus. The driving force of this woman's heart was love. There's nothing stronger, nothing nearer to God than that very thing. God is love. And it is out of love for another that this woman approaches Jesus. Now, faith is an interesting concept here. We can look at what we know. She began this conversation as a seeker. She came seeking Jesus. When she was ignored by Jesus, she persisted. When she was rebuffed by Jesus, she persisted. And eventually, Jesus saw her faith. And her faith was, at the very least, grounded in humility. After Jesus' comment about the dog, one would think she'd be offended, maybe storm off, walking away, crying, whatever it is. But instead, in her humility, she stayed in front of Jesus. And she said, essentially, "It's true, sir. I admit that I am a dog. I realize that I have no claim on you. You're under no obligation to help me. I get that. I am one of those whom you call dogs." It's faith to go to God for help and at the same time admit that we have no claim on God. We have not done something that somehow made us worthy to demand of God, "You do this for me, you owe me." God does not owe us. We've done nothing to merit God's mercy. We are in no position to make demands. But we go to God in faith. We go to God knowing that we are beneficiaries of the cross. And Jesus says to her, "Woman, great is your faith." Those are powerful words. Great is your faith. Does he ever say that to the disciples? Not once. He is much more likely to say, "Oh, you of little faith." That, he says. There is only one other person in the gospel witness that he commends for the faith, and it's another Gentile. It's a Roman soldier. Great is your faith. The last thing I'll say about this woman is that she overcame those significant barriers. She was, first of all, a woman. And it would not have looked good for her to be approaching Jesus or for Jesus to talk to her. Sad as that is, from our 21st century eyes and ears and being, it's how it was. But it got even more challenging for her from there. She was not only a Gentile, she was a Canaanite. Of all things, a Canaanite. Now, they were the sworn enemies of the Jews on both sides. This would be somewhat akin to the Palestinians and the Jews today. She wasn't just a Gentile. Oh, she was much worse than that. She had to overcome that barrier. She had to overcome being ignored. She could have stormed off. She had to overcome being rebuffed, being talked down to. She had to accept this insult, being called a dog. "You and your kind are dogs," is what Jesus said. And what she did is she came with great humility. She said in response, essentially, she said, "You're right, we're dogs, but I come to you knowing that I have no claim on you. I come to you knowing that I don't deserve your grace and your power. I come to you knowing that I am lowly." Tremendous humility. Her faith is founded in that humility. Again, the way we should be approaching our relationship with Jesus Christ. As I thought about those barriers, I couldn't stop thinking, what are my barriers? What is it that I have to overcome in order to have that relationship with Jesus Christ that allows me to know that grace, to experience that grace that God promises to us in the cross? What is it? Where are my barriers? And they are many. Where are your barriers? Money is a huge barrier. When we are focused on money and on getting more stuff, we are not focused on God. Enmity is a barrier. Are there people out there who we are not in right relationship with because we are holding grudge, because we are suffering under foolish pride? These relationships prevent us from having a sound and meaningful relationship with God in Christ. Forgiveness might be a barrier for us. Are there people we know we should forgive, but we can't bring ourselves to do so, perhaps out of that foolish pride? "I'm not going to forgive this person. They wronged me." How do you then move to say a prayer asking God to forgive me my sins as I forgive those who sin against me. How do you do that? How do you maintain that relationship? These are barriers. Are you defiled by what comes out of your mouth? Think about what Jesus said at the beginning of this Bible reading. He says, what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this is what defiles. For out of the heart come evil intentions, murder, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, slander. What part of those do we claim? And I would add such things as gossip, innuendo, half-truths, lies, words that disparage, innuendo that might lead somebody to believe disparage. These sorts of things defile, and they are barriers for us in our relationship with Jesus Christ. Whatever else there is, racism, sexism, homophobia, I don't care what it is, we all have barriers. This woman worked and worked to overcome these barriers, and she set a model for us. I'll tell you what, this heathen woman is someone we would do well to emulate. Amen.